Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions. Whether you need a new warehouse line, hedging, or are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday to you. There's a lot to discuss, and we're going to get right into it, but we're thrilled to have you on the program. I want to say a special word of thank you out to Blog Talk Radio. They're making this possible for us to be able to bring you hot updates on what's going on in the industry each and every week at this time. Again, for those of you that are listening in, and we've got a bunch of you that are listening in for the first time this fine day, we also want to tell you that you can go online and download this program to your iPod or whatever electronic device you want to use. Listen to the program. To bring you the latest up-to-date information on what is happening each week, and there certainly is. But let's start off with Joe Farr, who is with us from MBS Quote Line. Joe, thank you so much for bringing us up to date on the world of interest rates.
Yeah, it's a good report this morning. We're up a little bit today, up a little more than a quarter of a point in price, and that's a good thing. It's price up means rates are lower. No real news to point to today, but maybe it's a little bit of a reversal of Friday's reaction to the jobs report. We had a very favorable jobs report on Friday and surprised investors with the lack of job loss. Dave, the expectations were for well over 100,000 jobs being lost in the report in November, and the report came in at just 11,000, and prior months were revised favorably, where fewer jobs were lost. And the reaction in the marketplace was a very large negative immediately on the news. We were down almost three-quarters of a point in price soon after that announcement was made. Fortunately, we got some of it back later in the day on Friday, and today maybe it's a little bit of a reversal of more of that loss. We're still net down over the 2 days, but you know, it was a good report. We love hearing about jobs not being the drag that it once was, but we've talked in the past, you know, anything that's good for the economy is generally not very good for mortgage rates, and that was the result from last week's activity.
That's interesting.
Also last week, besides the jobs, which was the biggest surprise, but a very a nice surprise was the pending home sales. I don't know if you saw that, but
you know, I was traveling last week a good amount of it, so no, I missed some of the information.
Well, pending home sales are a measure of the activity of contracts, new contracts being written, and they were up 3.7%, which was much higher than expected, and also up to the biggest highest percentage measure in several years. So I guess the low rates that we're seeing today, historically speaking, even though they were up last week, are very, very low, and the tax credit seems to be doing
its thing.
You know,
yes.
Nice thing. Yeah,
absolutely.
I also wanted to point out there's the listeners out there may have received some feedback from their customers who are confused by the fact that Freddie Mac's survey of mortgage rates came out in the middle of the week. And that survey said to, you know, it's published in lots of papers around the country, that mortgage rates had fallen during the week to the lowest measure they have. And
I wonder if they got confused with prices versus rates.
Well, they might have, but it's all a matter of timing. You know, the Freddie Mac survey comes out on Thursdays, but the survey, I don't know exactly when people are supposed to be measuring their mortgage rates and responding to the survey. But if it were like Tuesday and Wednesday of last week, and they're comparing to where they were the Tuesday and Wednesday of the week before, it would make
exactly
sense
right.
that they would show a decline. But really, for the week from Friday to this last Friday, we saw a pretty significant rise in rates. So those of you who are talking to your customers, just let them know that the Freddie Mac survey is a little bit old news and is based on dated information, and that the MBS prices that you can watch on a day-to-day or hour-to-hour, minute-by-minute basis are in fact the real-time information.
Yeah, and if they've got your service, they get to see it live in real time. What's on the calendar for this week?
Yeah, there's not a lot this week other than the Treasury auctions. And 2 weeks ago, we saw the Treasury auctions really pull mortgage rates higher. Mortgage rates lower. I'm sorry, prices higher.
Rates lower, prices higher, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. I need that lesson every now and then, Dave.
counterintuitive.
Yeah, but they were the auctions 2 weeks ago were very well received, and that was favorable for mortgage rates. This week we have the 3-year, the 10-year, and the 30-year.
Right.
And the 10-year they start tomorrow, so it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The 10-year on Wednesday ought to be of particular importance to the mortgage market, because it and the 7-year that was done 2 weeks ago are sort of the two auctions that you'd say most resemble mortgage-backed securities. And so good demand for that ought to be good for mortgages as well.
Well, it is. And then when's the next jobs report? Because I think a lot of things are going to really be hanging on the jobs report.
It comes out first Friday of every month, so we won't see another jobs report until the first part of January.
Yeah,
retail sales comes out this Friday, which is... if it misses expectations by a lot, it could really be a market mover as well.
Well, it is important that you guys dial in and stay tuned in with us each week. We encourage you to go out and go onto the website of MBS Quote Line, take a look at what they have on there. You can get that free for a period of time as a trial, and it's a great service. I tell you, I'd stay dialed into it even as much as I can. And they also, one of the things I value, Joe, is it comes across my BlackBerry is those quick little blurbs, that multiple intraday blurbs that you put out. That's just a quick update on what's going on. It's so valuable for us. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this word.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS QuoteLine delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS QuoteLine, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS QuoteLine today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Good to have you back, and we've got listeners literally from all over the country, coast to coast. We thank you so much for tuning in and making this a viable part of your research as to what's going on in the industry. We thank you so much, and I tell you, there's not an area more that's going on that's any hotter topic lately than the legislative update. Last week we renamed it the traffic report because there's so much legislation coming down the highway. It is like we have a traffic report. Alice Alvey, President of Mortgage U, thank you so much for digesting of this. And folks, I got to put this on. Alice just downloaded, 600 pages, and has been, we've been trying to ask her questions. She says, excuse me, I'm reading. I got to get ready for the program. Alice, there's so much to digest. Thank you so much for doing that each week. Take it away. Give us an update on the traffic report.
Well, I think what we were talking about is that it seemed like there were 600 pages of this new bill just talking about executive compensation. So let's go back to the beginning for everybody here. You know, the big news is House Bill 4173, the Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act. So this came out just the other day, and now we are faced with it actually combined 8 bills. So for those of you who have been listening to the program regularly and listening to the different bills we've been summarizing for you, several of them are now combined into this, the Consumer Financial Protection Agency for one, but then several other bills, House bills referring to investment funds, derivative markets, so really a combination bill designed to address many of the things in the mortgage banking sector as well as the other markets. So that was big news that this is proposed, that this bill went out, is now out for us to take a look at. For everybody concerned about the skin in the game, the piece in here about credit risk retention is settling on 5%, and then there are lots of statements within the bill that would allow us to, or allow the regulator to move that number up or down. And then there is another provision, Dave, you know, before the call we were talking about, okay, are there any exemptions? And it does make an exemption here for the securitizer of from the risk retention could be exempt if the credit underwriting by the creditor or the due diligence by the securitizer meets certain standards. So, you know, if you meet some pretty tight credit risks, which, of course, we all go, what are those, right, because we still need to hear those, that would be one way maybe we can start to try and work with this.
I wonder if those standards are going to be basically Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac the guidelines. I know Joe made that comment on our pre-show conference call that we have here. So that's a significant exclusion out of there, because that if we had the skin in the game with everyone that's issuing a securities on that. So does it look like at this point, Alice, and I'm trying to get through all of this so quickly, for the segment, does it look like this is going to be focused on the originator, the skin in the game is going to be focused on the originator and the more independent mortgage banker that's selling these loans as well as some of the banks?
The way it's worded, the answer to your question is yes, it includes everybody. You know, if you're a lender and you're trying to say, am I going to have to retain 5% risk, the first part of this section says yes to that. There are some howevers which we have to get to the bottom of to see how is that going to play out. You know, depending on, do you think negatively and go, oh, they're going to be after me, I know I'm going to be stuck with this, or do you look at, let's get involved, get your congressman heard so they understand how valuable this lender market is to the industry and how catastrophic it would be to say everybody has to keep this 5%. So we need some more definitions to see whether or not we really do have an exemption that can be used on a regular basis.
You know, Alice, we've never seen, I get a lot of phone calls, especially with all the stuff going on in the industry on the legislative side of things, but this last week, it was just like over the top, the number of phone calls about the very thing, and everyone within, they'd say, hey, Dave, what about the skin in the game? Good morning, Dave, good to talk to you. Where are you at? What are you doing? Don't bother telling me, just get right to the skin in the game. There is a lot of panic going out there, and what we're hearing about is coming, it's kind of originating out of the blogs related to the implodometer. This is just fresh out, Alice, so a lot of what's out there is speculation, am I correct?
I would say so, and I think, again, you know, you have to, we've been of the mindset that you have to digest this information, take a look at what are the pros and the cons and the negatives, and say Congress has to hear from all segments of the industry to identify what the final bill would be. This is just the first bill, the first attempt to put this through. Let's make sure we all come together with a voice. I know that each of the associations are putting together their responses to these types of things. You know, another big news I wanted to make sure we got out in the legislative update was FHA. So in 1 week, we've got big news on this regulation that we're going to have to deal with. And on the second side is the news out of FHA. They issued the proposed rule finally for the lender approval requirements changes. Within that, there's also been discussion. Last week, Secretary Donovan spoke that, you know, upfront MIP premiums may be going up. So we've got a lot I know that we'll talk about in our next segment about all the dramatic shift at FHA. And last but not least, the Reg Z proposed rule for the – that's where the loan officer compensation piece is. For those of you asking, you know, does this 1,200-page bill, House Bill 4173, I almost forgot the number again, have in it the compensation piece? No, that's Reg Z proposed rule. Your comments have to be in by December 24th.
And is any gauge, Alice, quickly before we end this segment, on how much feedback there has been and on the comments? Has it been active?
You know, I don't have that at my fingertips. We can report back to you next week as we get closer for everybody to – I can give you an idea on the comments because those are out on the web. We can find those for you.
The reason I bring it up is what I've heard, and I'm not sure if it's how substantiated this is, but I've heard that there has been a surprising limited amount of feedback, and it's so important that your voice be heard. And so get in and get to – in fact, Alice, maybe we can bring that up in the next segment. Tell them how they get in and get their comments posted on the website. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this word.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals,
providing classroom and web-based delivery,
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lickin.
Good to have you back with us. Also, I think, Joe, we lost you there for a little while. Good to see you back in and dialed in. You're back. Joe is back. It's so important that we have your perspective on this, Joe, because you've been in the mortgage business like I have for just forever, and so we value this. Alice, it is just amazing to us what's going on. It's to combine, you know, trying to keep track of this. I guess in one sense, maybe they're listening to the program that having eight bills combined into one is a good thing, but I always worry about what's getting slipped in there or what's getting tweaked. If we could get into this a little bit further, first of all, I want to start off where we left off and as we went to the break. What is going on as far as the or where can people go to make their comments, their voices heard? There's a Gov website I know that they can post their feedback.
The to place your feedback and we've been talking about the Federal Reserve proposal for the various components that are out there. So you've got the correspondent concentration risk guidance. You've got the Reg Z response. So if you go to FDIC.gov, and you /regulations/laws and federal. And you can certainly use your search engines for this to get to FDIC comments. There are also ways to get through to the FTC website. And so that's my best recommendation right now is FDIC.gov/regulations/laws/federal. And that'll give you the list of things that are up for comment.
That is so valuable, and I can't tell you, get at your voice in, and it's not just screaming at them saying this is the stupid stuff that you're proposing. It's actually getting in there and providing substantive information. So there's some great information we've covered in previous programs. We're not going to go back and cover that again. Let's get into some of the comments recently that HUD Secretary Donovan testified here recently. Alice, if you could get into that and give us an update.
Yeah, when we came to, we were looking at last Wednesday, there was testimony, and they're looking at now at changing the upfront MIP. Now, authority has always been out there for FHA to go up to 3% without anybody's approval. What's uncertain at this point is, you know, how is that then going to change down payment requirements? So there's been talk that it would be change the upfront MIP to 3%, and then also was stated that and the borrower could not finance that. That's a big deal because if they can't finance it, now you're really changing the borrower's minimum investment in a transaction. You're changing it by thousands. There was a caveat that maybe they would put in that the seller would be able to pay the upfront MIP. You know, so we've got a lot of unanswered questions about what would the ultimate loan-to-value be on an FHA. Whatever it is, it doesn't seem like it's going to stay 96.5. On top of that, they're talking about increasing annual premiums as well and setting a minimum score floor.
And increased net worth requirements.
Right. The net worth requirements are a big deal as well. You know, we've got, from a number standpoint, here's what we came up with. HUD has said that there's 13,831 lenders, mortgagees approved now through FHA. That includes everybody. out of those companies, how many of them have a net worth over $1 million? So FHA is looking at setting a new $1 million minimum net worth just for year one. In three years, it's going to be 2.5. That means that over 10,000 companies would go off that list.
That is, I mean, listeners, I got to tell you, this is probably one of the most significant developments that are going to have an impact on your business. And quite frankly, if the realtors that are listening in, we have some realtors and a few consumers, but for the most part, it is you, the mortgage lenders that are out there that are dialing into this program each week. You got to get your voice heard on this. To the point that we know that it's been fairly obvious that net worth standards are going to be coming in place, but to raise it to $2.5 million, that's fairly significant. It's going to have an impact. I understand what's behind the logic, but I tell you, we need to have a viable, healthy FHA program, and I'm concerned about this. Joe, what's your feedback on this?
Well, I guess it's a question first, because those 10,000 companies, will they be able to make loans, I guess? And I think the answer is that is yes, but they do it as a like a correspondent to one of the bigger companies, right?
Right. Well, so they'd still be able to originate FHA. So their FHA is proposing to do away with this correspondent level approval, and basically you would just be falling under I'm either a non-supervised or supervised mortgagee. So the fact that the correspondent level goes away, and some companies go, wow, this is great. That means anybody can take an application, any lender can take an application, as long as the wholesaler or lender I'm selling it to is willing to monitor them and take on all the risk. But
and
they have
we talked
10,
about that.
Companies.
And we talked about that last time as putting your fate, your ability to make loans in the hands of, a very small group of large institutions, mostly the big banks, that can either say, I will or I will not let you originate loans for me. And, that Dave, to your point, that's kind of scary in that sure seems like it concentrates all the ability to lend in a very small number of institutions.
Well, I think there's the bigger question is, if we do away with the Mini Eagle program as an official program within HUD, does that do away with the small originators? And I'm glad you brought that up. I'm trying to voice some of the comments that are coming out that are being emailed to me and tweeted to me right now across the nation. And I want to thank you so much for so many of you tuning in. Some of you I can see are tuning in for the first time. It is so important to understand and sort through the hype that's out there, some of the hysteria and the panic that is obviously out there in the industry and very, but this is our livelihood. I understand it, but it's important that you just sort through and get the facts straight out. So the fact that they may be doing away with the Mini Eagle program has to do with much as what's going on within HUD and the staffing requirements, even though it appears that they're going to probably get the additional fund. In fact, Alice, did they end up getting the additional funding? Did that pass?
That we don't have, that has not passed yet. We can assume that they will, because the senators did say that, yes, we will give HUD the resources that they need to move forward.
That's why, and I couldn't remember if it looks very positive that they're going to have the resources. So then where is that, those additional funds and resources? Again, human.
Hello, Dave?
Programs. Oops. Let's see here. There we go. All right, good. I'm sorry. It seems like there's I was having a lot of blue screens.
Well, we lost. It sounds like we lost Dave again. I think where he was initially going was to try and figure out, for those of you as mortgage.
I'll redial in.
Oh, now you're back. You're going to dial in. All right. Well, Joe, let's you and I kind of pick this up so we can get Dave back in. I think what we're looking at here is, yes, brokers are still in business. As a matter of fact, I can even think of some credit unions that might look at this as a positive thing. Hey, now I don't have to go through FHA approval. I can take applications, and the wholesaler is going to be responsible for me. So it's not that you're out of business. It's just a change in the way we do business.
And then, Alice, we talked about another sort of related bill that proposes or had proposal that allows FHA to pursue the buyer of a loan, I guess a servicer of a loan, if there are issues with the loan, much like Fannie and Freddie do. Do you recall seeing that? And if so, it seems to go hand in glove with the idea that the aggregators would be the one more on the hook as far as the repurchase, but also the one more on the at the front to say we will or will not make this loan.
Right. That was all part of the same testimony where Secretary Donovan was talking about the idea that HUD wants the right to go after the companies that buy the FHA loans, as opposed to right now they can go after the lender that originated the defective loan. They want to be able to, I guess in a sense, reach for deeper pockets to mm-hmm. be able to try and get the restitution here.
Well, hopefully my mic's going to work solid. We are definitely having some intermittent problems here on my side of it here. Technology is a wonderful thing, but boy, when it doesn't work the way we want, it's kind of like regulation. It just frustrates the heck out of you. So anyway, so if the discussion on what's going to happen with FHA, I think the bottom line is they're going to have the additional resources. If we get the and that's the point I was trying to make. If we have the additional resources.
It seems like each time there starts to talk about the additional resources, maybe somebody's pulling the plug on the additional resources.
Yeah, there's some real conspiracy theory here.
There you go. Now you're back.
Yeah, I tell you, there's a conspiracy theory that there's a gremlin in there. I'll go out and reconnect. Thanks.
All right.
Alice, is it fair to say, and I guess because Commissioner Stevens came from Freddie Mac, right?
Yeah.
That there seems to be a lot of movements in Freddie Mac or in at FHA that would make it look more and more like Fannie and Freddie.
Yeah, like they're and that statement's been made. Is that are they trying to say let's make this more like the way Fannie and Freddie operated? But I don't know. Kind of off the cuff, you go, well, that didn't work out so well. At least at this point, it that's not as rosy of a picture. And what we're really saying is, at least from my vantage point on an operations side, that's a lot to ask of wholesalers and essentially what would be sponsors today. Does everybody turn into a sponsor? You've got to figure out quality management. The piece that Fannie and Freddie didn't have was enough quality control over the product. Net worth is not the only answer. I think you need to make sure there's QC provisions in this as well.
Yeah. Hopefully I'm back in here, and we're going in and out. So hopefully this will continue. There may be some spotty coverage out here with the internet connections that we have. But I apologize to our listeners. But I think the one of the issues, Alice, that I'd like to have you and Joe just continue to expand on is specifically the burden that this puts on the wholesalers, because this is one of the things. First of all, warehouse lenders, increasing number of warehouse lenders are going, if you're in the wholesale business, we're going to require higher net worth requirements. If the correspondent lenders that are out there that are saying, if you're in the TPO business, wholesale or buying from brokers, or that correspondent channel, as HUD refers to it, is really the wholesale channel, I mean, it's going to put more burden on them, but yet they're not giving them definitions as to what the requirements are for them to monitor. In other words, all the burden is going to go on the guy that's the full legal guy, and they're not going to have the ability to have the guidelines of what are they supposed to be looking for? What are they supposed to be approving? Is that a concern that you're seeing?
Absolutely. That I think the way the proposed bill is all that's left wide open. So the comments that need to be sent back are about explain what that is. We can't be for or against something until we have more detail on what is it that a wholesaler, for example, would have to do. And if it's just an all-out you're liable and it's a free-for-all on how they all have to manage their sponsored companies, that's not going to be fair, because you're going to have companies that don't do it well, others that do, and people are going to start picking and choosing who they sell loans to based on how much QC is being done. I think HUD needs to set a minimum standard for all of that. It'd be easy if they said, here, just take our requirements that we were following, and you now have to do it. But, boy, that's a lot of paperwork, especially if you look at the audited financial piece.
Well, I think there's also the ambiguity that's been in the program and some of this. So I am concerned about it. One thing we are definitely seeing is higher net worth requirements, whether it comes directly from HUD or if it comes from the correspondent channel. Anyone who's originating this product, we're not in the business of holding this product. It's got to get flow. It has to flow into the secondary markets, something Joe is very familiar with. And so whether the higher net worth requirements comes from HUD directly, or if it's going to come from the correspondent lenders or even the warehouse lenders that are in there for that short-term funding to make that funding possible, we are seeing that come at us like a freight train. It's just the way it is. Everyone should be adjusting their attitudes. I've got to get north of $2.5 million at some point in time. Fannie and Freddie already were there. They stepped it up on a shorter period of time than what HUD is doing. HUD, because of the significant number of people that are going to get excluded, that's fairly significant. Let's cover the dates on that. One person's tweeting me again saying, please give us the dates as to when we have to be at $1 million. What are those dates? When is that date? Excuse me.
Well, again, it's a proposed rule, so the rule has to pass. And
right.
So we've got less than 30 days now to respond to this rule. It came out, I have to double check the date. So it came out last Monday, and so 30 days from that, say the first part of January. The fastest implementation from a final rule is 30 days. So if this were to pass right away without a lot of edits, then it would be 30 days from that. And then in this, they've described kind of a transition period. So if you're already an approved lender, there'd be a transition window that would stand. Your approval would stand. So those of you who have not submitted for your renewals, get them in, because they're not going to pull away your lender approval. You're going to get to keep that until it expires.
Okay, good, good.
So not all dates are set yet.
All right, so it's important. I mean, I think how long from the time I'm reading all the emails. Boy, this is getting a lot of feedback from our listeners right now, so I apologize. As I'm listening to you talk, Alice, and I'm reading all the feedback that's coming in, one question that's kind of a theme through the thread through the all the emails that are coming in on this topic from our listeners is this. From the time that they close the comment period to the time that the regulation or the rule becomes, you know, effective, what is the typical distance duration between the two?
Well, I don't know if there's such a thing as typical for this particular proposed rule, because you normally have a 90-day comment period, and they already got a waiver for that to get it down to the shortest possible 30 days. And so actually I did find the date. It was published November 30th. So you have 30 days from that, which is going to be December 30th. And so, you know, I think they're going to move fast on this. I think we're going to have something in the first quarter of next year that's going to guide us for what's going to happen in 2010.
Dave, I'll add an article posted in the Washington Post identifies that within a year, you'd have to have $1 million. And then they also said that within 3 years, you'd have to be up to $2.5 million. But
okay. That's what we've been hearing.
But don't withhold your approvals now. Get that stuff in. Now, I know they were talking about they're going to, at some point, they're going to stop looking at new applications, and I'll have to look
that
data.
Yeah. So you're saying as all new applications would have to come in under the higher standards?
Right. And by the way, the other piece with this, it's not just $2.5 million net worth. It's a $500,000 has to be liquid. And I don't know how many companies keep that kind of liquid around. At the $1 million, it's $200,000 must be liquid.
Interesting. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this word.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
Whether you need a new warehouse line, are making the transition from broker to banker, are interested in mergers and acquisitions,
or anything in between, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
It's Good to have you back. This is Dave Licken with Licken on Lending. There is a lot to talk about here, and as we were just talking to Andy Alvey, who's our producer that works behind the scenes. I have him in my other ear, and he said, you know, this is really big news, because I'm looking at all the people that are listening to this program across the country. Again, I think we have a good number of states represented that are listening in. It should get your attention. This is serious stuff. I'm getting phone calls and messages like never before. Joe, let's get in and talk a little bit more about the size of the network company. Give the people, you and I have been in this industry both for a long, long, long time. There's been a lot of loans originated by the guys less than a million-dollar net worth. And what is the impact, in your perception, the impact that this is going to have on our industry?
Well, it's unquestionably going to change those people who are full lenders now and who appreciate the opportunity to control their own destiny and to... Some of those maybe even are issuing their own securities. It doesn't take a lot of volume to be your own issuer. All those people are going to begin to have to answer to somebody else. And, it's not unlike what brokers have done most of during their origination life. But it's going to change who has control of certain aspects of the origination function and concentrate more of the origination activity in fewer and fewer players, which ultimately the consumer might not have the choices he once had. And on the other hand, though, Dave, I would suggest that we all need to make sure that FHA survives, and that if some of these changes are necessary, that we should applaud those changes. Just hope that they don't have the consequence of putting more mortgage companies out of business.
You know, Joe, you bring up a point that I think I want everybody to make sure they recognize is the underwriting requirements at FHA are going to just keep getting tighter. So for those of you from a lender standpoint who said, well, wait a minute, as an independent lender, and maybe I was large enough to deliver my own Ginnie Mae securities, you know, was I able to do things from an underwriting standpoint that I couldn't do with a B of A or a Wells, you know, because I had a better handle on the market, I could keep my delinquency rate under control. FHA is going to be tightening up all of that for everybody. So I think the availability of financing to consumers is going to be affected regardless.
And we're seeing failures. Last week, last Friday, as you pointed out in the pre-program, Alice, AmTrust failed. There was a failure on Friday. They're the fourth biggest failure of the year. And I think it's fairly significant that there are going to be failures. There's going to be, but it's creating a marketplace, you know, market opportunities for those that are going to survive and continue on.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think every operation has to look at the quality of the loans and its process. Especially the post-closing process, you've got to enforce with correcting errors in advance. Operationally, we've really found a lot of companies are seeking our help in understanding and making sure that side of their business is running smoothly, because that's where you can catch risk before it catches you in a lot of cases.
Well, I think, you know, that we talk about post-QC, and I think a lot of folks have just found that as the necessary evil to do business. And I know your business partner, you know, Jan Wetzel Trott, does a spectacular job of getting in there. But I think there needs to be more of a focus on the importance of this being a feedback system rather than a, you know, quote-unquote necessary evil. I got to do this stupid QC report again this month. We have not given it as an industry the type of attention that it has needed. And I know that's going to frustrate some of you that are listening that are on the originator side, but that's one of the things that has been wrong with our industry that has had to fix. It's resulting in higher net worth requirements. I think overall it's going to result in a healthier and stronger industry.
Well, and as long as you get the quality goes with it, you know, you can't just say just because a company has a lot of dollars, it means that they're stable. Operationally, you've got to take a look at, does your staff know what they're doing? Do they know what to watch for? And are you enforcing, you know, quality in your shop? It's one thing to have written procedures, although you'd be surprised how many companies don't even have that. It's not in writing. But the idea of enforcement of, you know, making sure you've got a clean loan before it closes.
And it's not just on the procedural side. It's also having a lot to do with accounting. We're finding
right.
a surprising number of companies, Joe and Alice, that are out there that are very well run from a procedural standpoint, have good QC plays, policy procedures in place, but we're finding that their accounting is on a really shaky, if not faulty, foundation, whether it be the chart of accounts or how they're accounting for specific things related to the banking. It goes back. There was a lot of growth in the mortgage banking circles. Those that were started as real strong originators that have been maybe worked with a bank or worked with a broker that converted themselves to being a banker, they never took the time to set in the foundational blocks to get the accounting right. And we're seeing the consequences of that across the board. And that has yet to really hit the stage as far as it being front and center from a regulatory standpoint, where at least I don't recall, Alice, any regulations that are addressing this other than just higher quote-unquote net worth requirements.
You know, I'm not sure what's in this new proposed, 1,200 pages. I haven't dissected everything to see if there's anything within that that'll, address your concerns. But I agree with you that you've got the companies need systems on the accounting side as well.
Yeah,
Dave,
it's
I think the accounting side got it back in the Enron days. So the reaction to Enron was what was Graham Leach Bliley and a couple other things that should have helped.
Sarbanes-Oxley.
Yeah, I mean those things should have been in place and taken care of the issues of the day.
Well, I think it's not so much. I agree. If when it comes to just general accounting and certain aspects of accounting, they went to address the issues. But what we're seeing is just a general lack of understanding about how. What is right, the right, the do's and don'ts, the rights and wrongs of how to do going about mortgage banking, loan accounting specifically. And I want to encourage you business owners that are listening to this, just don't treat that like you have, it's like some of us have, in days gone by, related to QC. And I hate to say it, I was guilty of that in my earlier days. Now I value it and appreciate that feedback. And so just because you have a CPA doing your books or involved in doing an audit, you'd be surprised at how many errors that we're finding, even by relatively strong regional firms that are just out there. And it's not because they're out there trying to mislead anybody. It's just honest mistake. They don't know. That's exactly.
They don't know. We've seen that too, Dave, where you've got you hire a regular CPA who doesn't really know mortgages, who's trying to prepare your audited financials according to HUD requirements, and they're missing key stuff. We've gone into companies who've been written up by FHA, taken a look at the report they sent to HUD, and the CPA completely missed issues that they're supposed to be certifying in that report. So now picture who's going to do that. If HUD had the responsibility of checking those audited financials and now that's gone, is a wholesaler supposed to now? What staff do they have to check financial statements? I mean, that's not a skill set that a wholesale department typically has to accommodate. Maybe account execs and, your whole lender approval divisions might have required some kind of financial analysis, but do you think that was as in-depth as they should do for FHA?
Well, no, and I think for the FHA has some very specific requirements, and I want to put that out there. Hopefully you're going to get my shy radio, he's avoiding getting on the radio station a little bit here with us, Alice and Joe. We're going to work on getting that. So we're going to get Andy on here. He's a CPA, CMB, and to talk about some of the issues, because we are getting a lot of questions. Be more specific. What issues are you finding? Tune in next week. Hopefully we're going to have an opportunity to go into those in greater depth, especially what should be and should not be accounted for in there. A lot going there. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this word.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Schrott can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Schrott has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Schrott can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel's Schrott represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel's Schrott today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel's Schrott, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lickin' on Lending Show.
You know what? I just keep coming back to this point, Allison Joe, that there's so many people out there that are getting discouraged. I got three phone calls in today about the regulation, what's going on with HUD, higher net worth requirements, that more and more people are considering throwing the towel. I'll tell you this. The prediction that I made probably a year ago is that we're coming into a season that, yes, we're going to see a lot of people exiting the industry, but not necessarily on the right grounds for the right reasons. This industry has needed to grow up and change. We've needed to find those areas that where we had systemic failures across the board and get in and fix those areas. And some of them are getting fixed. It just because you have a lower net worth does not mean you can't participate and still originate loans. You may not be able to deal directly with agencies. You may not be able to sell directly into HUD, but you're still going to be able to originate loans and do so very profitably. Again, there's regulations that's trying to go in and regulate. A tweet just came in. It's so much fun to have Twitter running in the background because I just got a tweet and it says, "Yeah, but Dave, what about the regulation that's hitting us loan officers that are out there?" And this happens to be a mortgage banking owner. He says, "My loan officers are not going to be able to make the kind of money. Am I going to be able to still originate the loans?" The answer is yes. We do not know what those are going to look like. Stay in the game. More money is being made today in mortgage banking than it ever has been in the history of our industry. And we've got financials that we review of companies across the board. For those that are staying in the game, they're making more money than ever before. So I encourage you to stay in the game. It's so important that you do, that you stay alive with us. We appreciate you tuning into this program each and every week. There's information that will be coming out that's fresh and new. We have guests that are outstanding. We had Glenn Corso on out there recently. If you haven't listened to that broadcast, Joan Alice, I think it was that two broadcasts ago that we had that. Very important. And I recommend that you getting in there. You also realize this, that you can go online to blogtalkradio.com. You can go in. For those of you that are already listening via the Internet, you already know this. But you can also, for those that are listening by phone, or this has been forwarded to you, a recording has been forwarded to you, also realize you can go to blogtalkradio.com. You can put in Lickin on Lending, L-Y-K-K-E-N, space on, space lending. In other words, it's spaced out like a normal sentence. You put that in the search box, you'll come to our website, you'll see all of our former broadcasts. I want to thank Joe and Alice because the hours that go into preparing for this program, I mean, you heard Alice, she was combing through 600 pages of a 1,200-page bill. Dear God, Alice, who has the time to write all this stuff? Only a bureaucrat does. But there's so much stuff out there to pour through and information. Joe and Alice, let's wrap up the program today. Let's go through, if we're starting off with you, Joe, about some of the issues that you would like to make sure that we cover in this broadcast that's important for the listeners.
I'd just reiterate that some of these changes are painful but necessary to ensure that we continue to have an FHA form of insurance, and without that, we'd have a very difficult lending environment. So, it is painful but necessary, and we're going to have to work as quickly and as hard as we can to stay on top of it.
And
pendulum is dead.
I'll
go ahead,
just add to that it's, we've had 3% upfront MIP before. For those of you old-timers like me, you remember we've been there before. Actually, I remember 3.8. So it does, just because it goes up doesn't mean it can't ever come back down when the time is right and the markets are better.
Yeah, we're going through one of those times. The pendulum is swinging. As far as it swung to the right, it's swinging to the left, or whichever direction you want to equate the metaphor to. But the reality is, it is swinging. It is an extreme. It'll come back. It's going to be back there. Most important is that we need you to stay in the game, stay originating loans, stay serving your community. If you have any questions on how to raise the capital to meet the new higher requirements, give us a call. We can help you at Mortgage Banking Solutions. There's a lot to talk about. Stay tuned. We're going to be in the program with you next week going through a lot of issues related to accounting. There'll be email us your questions, please. We welcome those, and we're trying to get all those topics covered on the next broadcast. So if you email them to me at D as in David, L-Y-K-K-E-N, at mortgagebankingsolutions.com, I will cover them and bring them to you next week. I want to say again, thank you to Joe and Alice, as they are always so helpful, and I just appreciate their style, and especially Joe's calmness and Alice's studiousness, studiousness of studying all of this. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
This has been Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. On the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Today's guests were Joe Farr and Scott Sanderson from MBS Quote Line, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.